Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to Mama Shar's house, y'all. Be prepared to laugh, cry, pee your pants, or puke, as you just never know what's going to happen. So sit back, relax, and find your frequency. Here's the woman of my dreams, Mama Shar.
Hey. Welcome to another episode of the quirky world of Mama Shar. Today, we continue with our promotion of the Be Great Conference, the speakers and workshop facilitators at the Be Great Conference in Seattle, Washington, October 23rd to 25th. If you guys haven't gotten your tickets yet, hit me up. I might get you a 2-for-1, buy one, get one free. Who doesn't love a great deal? So that's what we're doing today. We're promoting another great speaker. And today we have Molly Knight Ford with an E. Don't forget the E. So I've got her unmuted. So are you with me, baby girl?
I am here. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, I have to tell you, I'm scanning here my email for your bio so that I can find it and talk about you. But before I do, I know that you are an accomplished classical pianist.
True.
And I want you to know, I took 2 lessons one time, and I got to the FACE, and every good boy does fine, and I realized I wasn't going to learn how to play like Jerry Lee Lewis anytime soon, so I didn't go back for class 3. I'm not going to lie. I can't believe that I'm talking to someone that was so young and yet so accomplished in something that I couldn't do but more than 2 lessons. So I'm bowing to you in gratitude. So let me tell everyone a little bit about you, okay? Molly Knight Ford, professional classical pianist and spiritual mentor, leads people to personal freedom using wisdom teachings and unique mindfulness methods practiced out in the world, not just on the cushion. As founder of the Awareness School, she teaches the art of self-observation and facilitates global retreats, courses, as well as one-on mentoring. Her greatest wish is to contribute to the new epic by assisting individual transformation to expanded awareness, meditation, sacred dance, and music. In my introduction to you on the episode at Blog Talk, I mentioned you do the 4 M's, right? I mean, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, you have learned how to marry the 4 M's, you know. So I want to talk to you about that a little bit here because, like I said, you've already accomplished something that I couldn't do more than 2 of. So as a recording artist, meditation mentor, motivational coach, public speaker, writer, you're a jill of all trades, no doubt. So what's the common thread that the world should know that Molly Knight Ford, with an E, brought forward?
What an impressive way to speak about me, because sometimes, you know, it just took a lot of slogging through to, just like you said, you know, learning the notes and being a kid. But all of that, all of the things that I've come to do now, you know, thinking about a common thread, it's really living from the heart and living authentically, you know, kind of fearlessly. I had to learn fearlessness in order to play big pieces of hard music, keep it all together, and still, you know, emote from my heart being on stage where you got to get over nerves. And really, it's all fueled by, you know, something that's in my heart, something that's sacred in all things. And it's also about presence. And I had to learn that. I had to have it in order to do what I do. And as I started doing that, it was like a no-brainer to help other people do it. So I did start, you know, working with people one-on-one and teaching classes and speaking about it and writing about it. So it looks like, you know, I'm a jack of all trades, or not really. It all, you know, boils down to passion and fearlessness. You know, and I have a huge backing of spiritual practice and self-transformation that I had to learn, and I took it on really seriously, and it just had a positive ripple effect, you know, through my life and my piano playing and my career. And it enabled me to put myself out there in a way that I couldn't do before. And so I have a greater reach. And, you know, so I really enjoy teaching people, you know, how to put themselves out there, how to get over fear and resistance. And, you know, I've been a musician by trade because it just fills my soul. I couldn't help being a musician. I mean, I loved it so much when I started. And I love all kinds of music, but I really loved classical music for some reason. It just challenged me. And, you know, the first time I got out on stage, I had on these little high heels, you know, not too high. I was about, I guess, I don't know, 11 or 12 when I did some bigger pieces. And there was a wooden stage, and I sat down, and all you could hear was it was the heel bamming against the wooden floor, and I couldn't control it. I mean, and I was so embarrassed, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's all they can hear is how nervous I am and that my heel is hitting the ground. And then I started the piece an octave higher than what it really was. And so after I started like the first four measures, I went, oh no, I'm in the wrong place. And I had to figure out, you know, right in the middle of the thing, how to get back to the right place without anybody noticing. And so for me on the inside, it was this huge ordeal. Whereas after the concert, I asked my mom, oh, could you tell that? She said, oh, honey, it was beautiful. It was just so perfect in every way. And I thought, wow, how could my inner experience be so different than what, you know, other people perceive?
And don't you know, that's truthful for all of us, though, in all situations.
Yeah.
What we're feeling on the inside isn't always what we're projecting on the outside that people see us as. You know, so that's a good point. But I have to ask you, I noticed on your LinkedIn, you write, it was a stressful life, circumstances, and performing on stage that first led to the practice of meditation and her speech for freedom. Now, some people strive all their lives to get on stage. Here you are, you're 11, and you've realized that at 11 that the inside's not matching what you're putting out on the outside, that you're able to transform from one octave to the next in the center without any hiccups, and it was flawless. But what was your one pivotal moment that made you really look for the meditation, the motivation, the manifesting, and tie it all back in together?
Right.
Oh,
right. Well, there were several, but, you know, at this point, I realize I love doing this, but I have to deal with the fear and the nerves. And, you know, at some points in concerts that I would be doing in Europe, I went on to Paris Conservatory and was doing my studies, and then went on to be on a concert circuit. And sometimes I'd feel like I was going to throw up before I went on stage. And I said, why am I doing this? What is going on here? And I had so much anxiety and insomnia. And then, you know, I kind of could deal with it. But once I got on the stage, you know, and got the rubber hitting the road, it was much, much better. But I really had to research within myself, what the heck is going on here? And I noticed that it was, you know, not just in his career of piano, but it was stretching across, you know, every area of my life. You know, so I'm like this high-level pianist, but there was this disparity between what I was doing and what I was feeling on the inside. So, you know, I've known other performers and you know, successful business people and top leaders in their fields, you know, this inner turmoil and the self-worth was literally, you know, kind of in the gutter, or it didn't mean anything unless they were the best of the best. And, you know, there's all this stuff going on, but on the outside, they look super successful and, you know, it was really weird because I was, you know, I had to pass an exam in the conservatory with a unanimous vote. And that my whole degree was relying on that, and it put tremendous pressure on me and on graduating, and I was working like a dog, but and in the concert circuit too, same thing. But on the dark side, I tell you, I was relieving pressure with all kinds of, you know, sordid activities I won't even go into, you know, drinking and drugs, one night stands, so that's probably TMI, right? But it was really dark.
Not at all.
It was like balancing the light with the dark. I had to show, oh, look how successful and professional I am. And then on the inside, it's just like, oh, no, you know, I can't deal with this. I had to find a way to, you know, resolve this thing, and or else I was going to self-destruct. I mean, it was really bad. And I found this yoga place in the Zen dojo, and I launched into this serious immersion, you know, of spiritual practices, and it was an eclectic mix. And I was kind of like a monk living out in the world. They let me come in every day. I wasn't living there, but I started doing this, and then it started correlating all with the rest of my life and connecting the dots, you know, of moments that I remember as a child thinking, you know, I'm aware of my awareness and I'm aware of things, and I lost it all. And all of a sudden that started coming back. And all of a sudden I started losing that kind of horrible self-consciousness and this sort of identification with I'm not good enough. And I started to be able to speak and do from a place that wasn't about proving myself, you know. It was just amazing, the transformation that started happening. And
as you're talking, I tell you, Robin Williams is popping in my head, because that was exactly what you were talking about. His inside did not match his outside. His outside, he entertained and he uplifted and he inspired so many people, but on the inside, he was fighting his own war alone. You know, and so
absolutely.
That is absolutely, and I think, you know, probably if we look back at Amy White, you know, the ones that overdosed on drugs, I mean, Chris Farley, Bob, you know, Bellucci, they were so talented, but yet they were looking for something different. That's why they go to the drugs and the alcohol and you know, the one-night stands and stuff like the self-abuse, if you will, because that's what it is. But I know you're talking at the Be Great Conference. Again, it's October 23rd through 25th in Seattle, Washington. But the title of your talk kind of intrigued me, because I don't know what a force is. The title of the talk is The Third Force, Overcoming Resistance. I mean, we all know what resistance is, right? Workshop is Practical Awareness. You Are Your Attention. So out of my curiosity, can you give us a little sneak peek of what a third force is and how you plan to help us overcome our fears and our resistance?
Oh, yeah. You're right. So it's really funny when I start talking about the third force, people start saying, man, you sound like you're talking about Star Wars and may the force be with you. And I said, well, guess what? That is exactly what I am talking about. And, you know, it's the third force because in order for really anything to actually come to fruition and to happen, you have to have three forces. And one is an affirming force where, you know, you aim to do, and it's like the active thing. And then there's another force, like a force of resistance that comes up against it, or that force can also be known as the receptive force or a denying force. You know, you have to be aware of these two things and balance these two things at the same time. And I'll give you a couple examples of that. But if you do, then the third force comes in from the outside and enables the thing to happen. And if you start looking at like little things all through your day, like you have a goal of getting such and such done in the day, and that's kind of your affirming force. And then the phone rings and you go off on a tangent, or you're online doing something. But if you don't recognize at some point, hey, this is the second force kind of pushing against this, if you don't have a recognition of it, you kind of get pulled by the wind and off you go. And so you learn, you do procrastination, you know? I mean, here's another example of the third force. Like, you can't remember a word, and it just won't come to you. You're trying and trying and trying, and I just can't think of it. And the minute you let go, and that is a receptive force coming in. You're just like, oh, forget it. You know, then it comes in immediately. So, you know, working with how to recognize these two forces, or even intentionally bringing in, you know, like if you have fear, bringing in resistance to that fear, now you've created those two forces, and with the presence of them both, voila, the third one comes in. It's really magical, and I had to study this for a long time. I mean, even in my own, you know, business, I took up some network marketing some years ago, and I did it, and I became successful, but I tell you, I wasn't all that happy because, you know, I'm a musician and I'm doing all this meditation, but I thought I needed to do that for money. And I was just working like a dog and, you know, kept on and kept on and kept on. And I was making, you know, kind of good money, but I wasn't happy at all. And I got sick. And, you know, there is a case of me just running at it, just got to get it done, got to do it, got to succeed, got to, you know, to the point that I got sick and I had to give up. And I just went, you know, something's not working here. And the minute I did and just focused on the things that I love and the passion that I have and, you know, make that my point of focus, everything just shot up. I mean, you know, everything started coming to fruition. It was like, you know, all points converged. And I realized that I had just been pushing and pushing. And, you know, by the same token, somebody can say, oh, you know, the universe needs to be with me. You know, I ask for this and I ask for that. And it's important to ask because, you know, if you ask, you will receive. But you can't just ask and wait around. Do you know what I mean? So that's a case of the second force. It's just waiting to receive, but you don't have that sort of stepping toward it to go with it. And so a lot of times we say, hey, the universe isn't with me. The universe isn't with me. And they've been asking and trying to manifest something, but it's just not happening because they don't understand they've got to bring in that other force. So that's kind of a little bit of what I'm going to be talking about and, you know, what resistance means, because we can either apply our own resistance to something or we're going to try and overcome resistance. And one is one force, one's the other. And in recognizing it, we get the third. Isn't that just wild?
It is. It is. When you put it like that, I'm sitting here, you know, because I'm a thinker, right? I ponder a lot. So, and I psychoanalyze. So I'm sitting here, I'm breaking it down. It's like, yes, yes. Wow. Yes, yes. So
good.
On one of your blogs, girl, MollyKnightFord.com. That's MollyKnightFord.com. So Ford with an E, MollyKnightFord.com. One of your blogs, you wrote something like, we know it's easier to cave into fear than to act out of love. Now, can you just tell me what you told me?
Yeah.
Is there anything, like one major step someone could do today?
Yeah.
To take these three forces and make them, you know, it's like the affirming force, the overcoming resistance force. We don't need the force number two, but those two forces, and use it to better themselves, to get on the road of resisting their fears right now.
Yeah.
Or can you sum it up even in one?
Yeah, well, I can try. I'm never really good at summing up things in little, you know, bites, but I'm going to try.
Neat packages.
You can try and hold back the reins if I'm talking too much, because I just have so much. I burst forth with this stuff, and I just love it.
I will, but you're good. You're good. Kick it, girl. Kick it.
You know, fear is going to be there unless we learn to, you know, like apply resistance to it and act anyway. You know, the fear is really like a result of kind of our identification with what other people think, or, you know, we're locked in the future. And seriously, when you look at any fear you have, it's usually based on putting some kind of importance on what somebody else thinks of you, like your performance or your success, or am I doing a good webinar, or am I parenting well, or, you know, you got to learn to think in the worst case scenario and learn to say, you know, so what? What is really going to happen if I fail at this thing? And we've been taught not to fail, not to take risks. You know, it's all through our society. And the minute we get a little bit of that resistance, we go, oh, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. And we end up kind of getting paralyzed. So we have to we have to learn to recognize that, you know, we have kind of identifications with being perfect so people will love us, or so, you know, avoiding mistakes so people will love us, or being good so people will love us. And that's all like conditioned patterns. And it's when we're on autopilot and we, you know, if we can go into something knowing that there's going to be some kind of fear that's going to come up, we can hopefully catch ourselves in that state of identification. Like we know, that's the whole thing about presence and awareness. It's going to put us in a point where we can observe that and go, I know that's not real. I know, but it takes little steps of awareness. So if you go into something knowing, okay, I'm probably going to have some kind of resistance, but to try and catch yourself and say, what is this really coming from? You know, what if I go into it knowing, hey, there's going to be something like this, and knowing it's not real, and just catch myself and go, okay, you know, I'm going to kick this thing in the butt. But the catch 22 is this, you know, what makes you take that first action? You know, you have to know that some of this, you know, trepidation about what's going to happen is unfounded. It's like the boogeyman in the closet, mm-hmm. or the monster in the under the bed. You know, you have to kind of go, I know that's not real. I know that's not real, but it feels, certainly feels real. And there has to be some kind of drive that's stronger than that fear. It has to be emotional. It has to be from your heart. It has to, you know, it's like a fire in your belly. Like, you can't help it. You know you want this thing, and you know, it can't just be from your head. If you know, or motivated from what you think other people want. And if it's from your heart, if you can really get in there, you're going to take a step toward it. And every time you do, you kind of negate that, what that fear was about. You realize, yeah, you know, I stood there trying to jump off the high dive, and it was this big, big mountain to climb. Jumped off it, and it wasn't that big of a deal. So every time you can do it, it just, you know, this is getting less, the fear is getting less and less, and I'm getting stronger and stronger. And then you just get out there, and you know your stuff. I get a little nervous before I walk out on the stage or walk out to speak, but I know, if I speak from my heart, if I play from my heart, a little mistake here or there does not matter. It's the message that's getting across, not exactly the, you know, the words or the notes. It's what's coming in from behind it. So that may be a kind of a long answer. See, I don't know how to make a small package. But what can people do? You have to try and act. And even though you're scared, you get paralyzed. You say, I can't do that. Just remember what's in your heart and say, but I know what's good for other people. You know, I know I have something to give. I know I have a passion to present. You know, so I think, here's a funny thing. You know, I always think of that song by Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to
right.
hold them. You got to know when to push against this fear, or when to, you know, let some kind of receiving coming in. So it all winds back to that third force thing. And awareness. You got to watch yourself and say, you know, what is this really, really about? And what do I really want in life? And accept that there's going to be a little resistance along the way, you know, because if you let it paralyze you, you're not going to get anywhere.
And, you know, when I did zip lining, that first, we stepped the first time off that platform,
it was the most exhilarating of all the other times I stepped off that platform, because the next time I knew I was going to be okay. I knew that feeling. So I think as a speaker, you know, the first couple of times that you go and you stand in front of people, you become comfortable with that feeling. But, you know, even if you use the wrong word, even if you stumble and fall flat on your face, there's other people that's done it before you, and there's going to be people do it after you. So I think awareness is a perfect answer to become aware of what's stopping you in your track. And I always like to say, what is the worst case scenario? What's the worst case? Is somebody going to die? If somebody's not going to die, is it the end of the world? So I love the fact that you said awareness, you know, become aware of what's resisting you. And I like to think that sometimes we need to take our stumbling blocks and turn them into stepping stones. Look at the message behind there. So tell us, where can we find Molly Knight Ford with an E, and what's in your near future?
Well, I've got a brand new website coming out, and probably if you go to Molly Knight Ford today, it started to say coming soon, because in the next few days, we're getting ready to launch, you know, with my team. Just, I had an amazing team. So you're going to find a lot of resources there. I do retreats, and getting ready to have an online course coming. I do local stuff, teaching people and concerts. But I'm doing a lot of online mentoring to help people, you know, get through resistance and understand how to take steps to be aware. And so you're going to find packages on there that you can choose from to work with me online. I cannot wait to speak for the Be Great conference, and I've got some other talks here in Seattle coming up. But that conference is going to be amazing, because it's people who know the importance of working from the heart. That's what I think aligning business with soul and spirit is. And so I'm really happy to be a part of it the last weekend of October. I'm honored, and I was just thrilled to come on and, you know, talk a little bit about what I'm going to talk about. So check my website next week.
Okay, so like you might say like a week from today, Molly Knight Ford with an E will be –
it will be.
And we can find all the information on the retreats and the online courses and the concerts and the online mentoring programs that you have available. So we'll give you, how about we just give you until October 1st? And we'll say by October 1st. You know, we'll just do that timeline. But I can't thank you enough for showing up and for giving us your wisdom. And I look forward to meeting you at the Be Great Conference, October 23rd.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and for doing what you do. It's a great show.
Thank you, baby girl. You be blessed, be safe, and I'll see you October 23rd in Seattle.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, there you have it. Molly Knight Ford. On October 1st, you guys go check her out at MollyKnightFord.com. Check her out. She helps you from going resistance to of your fears to becoming powerful, overcoming resistant people. I mean, you can't ask for better. So before I sign off, I would be amiss. You need to go to begreatcon.com, BEGREATCON.com. Check out the ticket information. If you want to buy one, get one free, hit me up at mamashar.com or on all social media at mamasharblessed. Thank you all for tuning in. I love you. Remember, the second greatest commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Y'all be safe, be blessed, and I'll catch you next week. Good day.